Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and thanks once again for joining the Socialist Insight. Today, Ruth Ann and myself, we will be taking calls from our listeners, and what we're going to be doing today is we want to hear your comments in regards to the presidential debates that took place last Wednesday. Ruth Ann, that should be very interesting. The debates, basically, I did watch the debates, and it was only because of this program today. But basically, all I saw was two candidates that represent the same masters. What did you see?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing because, you know, I get ill easily. But that's what I saw. You know, besides that, what I did see, and I mean, it's even hard for me to admit, because, you know, I'm not an Obama fan either. But my goodness,
right.
He looked so old. He did.
Well, that's what the presidency will do
it
for
does.
You.
It always does. But I mean, he just looked almost, I don't know, even his posture wasn't all that good, but the gray, and it wasn't just the gray hair, but almost the skin tone. I mean, he looked so bad. And I thought, wow, you know, you wanted it, you got it. And
Well, what I can see is, the president, he has been in there. President Obama has been in office now for going on his fourth year. And it is a difficult job to be in. You're
Definitely.
Working with two sides of the aisle. And I have to say the two sides of the aisle, they still represent the same thing also.
Yeah, well,
you have the masters that are over the individuals that are there in Congress, and you have the masters that are over the individuals that will be elected into office for this new term, which is coming up in January of next year. But the debate that came on Wednesday, they were talking about domestic issues, and there are many domestic issues that we're confronted with, especially when we're looking at health care, when we're looking at the national debt,
education,
and also how many of our rights are being stripped away as American citizens. The debt, which was a big issue that was being discussed by both the candidates, by President Obama and also Mitt Romney. But I didn't see where they had anything of substance that they wanted to put on the table of how that they were going to bring the rising debt under control. Presently, the nation, we have over $16 trillion worth of debt, and that debt is constantly increasing because of much of the spending that we're doing to help to subsidize other foreign markets for other governments to help to stabilize those governments. What we're doing, increasing the debt for military spending. And President Obama has mentioned about a 10-year program, fiscal program where he'd be cutting a little over $2 trillion over the next 10 years. But when you look at over the next 10 years, they're looking at cutting from the debt, from future debt that they will be creating. But it's not anything that's going to bring about any solutions for working people. The other thing is when I look at President Obama, when I look at Mitt Romney, his plan basically called for cutting many of the programs that we have that help seniors, students, working people. And as we can see from Paul Ryan, his running mate, it is all about how they're going to slash the budget, and it's going to be done on the backs of working people. So both candidates, when I look at what was talked about or discussed by both candidates in this first forum, I would have to say I would rate both candidates with a D, because they didn't offer anything of substance that would really benefit working people.
No, there was no solution to anything.
Exactly.
It's easy to say, well, I'm going to do this, or we should do this, and blah, blah. But if you don't have something backing it up, it means nothing.
Exactly. And one of the other things is I look in regards to taxes. We have Mitt Romney. He mentioned that he wants to provide tax reliefs and incentives to businesses because he's calling them the job creators. Well, we have seen that under the Bush administration. We have seen that under the Obama administration, and also Obama's weakness and not willing to step forward and to move on an agenda to end the Bush tax cuts. And we can see the Bush tax cuts, the only thing it did was to benefit big corporations and big businesses. So these are some of the elements that were actually brought up in the debate that I found of interest. And I'm quite certain that most of the people that took the time and watched those debates, they probably saw the same thing. It's one thing in particular also when they were talking about the health care plan. Very many elements of Obamacare, his health care plan, were in essence it was taken from elements of Mitt Romney's plan when he was governor. And here his health plan is very interesting how Romney was very critical of Obama's health care plan program. Now, as you know, my position is I believe that Obamacare should be repealed because it's essentially even the courts have ruled that Obamacare is a tax. And it will not secure the health care needs for the approximately 47 million people that are currently without health care insurance.
Right.
Now, one of the other things that Mitt Romney had mentioned is that it was going to, Obama mentioned that the cost has been coming down for health care. Well, the cost for health care has not been coming down, not even under Obamacare. Matter of fact, most Americans can see that their costs and their premiums have been going up. Now, the cost has been the amount of money that has been going into various medical programs and the cost has been basically shouldered or on the backs of working people. And Obamacare still falls very short from what is needed to take care of working families, our children, to make certain that they're covered. Now, you can see under one of the things I can see from Mitt Romney, what he is advocating is that that we need to have like a voucher program. And as a socialist, I can see that a voucher program will never work because essentially what it does, it only privatizes something that is a critical need for working people. So where you can go to your own physicians or seek your own coverage under a voucher system. The problem is under a voucher system, it falls very short from being able to meet many of the critical needs that people have in our society. So when I look at both sides of the arguments that came out of this debate, I think, as I mentioned, the debate was basically nothing but just show and tell. It was something just to provide entertainment for millions of Americans on Wednesday night. And as far as being of any substance, I didn't see any substance there. So I had to say, Ruth Ann, you really didn't miss too much.
I didn't see. Yeah, I mean, I really, my intention is after I couldn't get to my show, I really wanted to watch it. And I did, like I say, watch a little bit of the streaming. But then it was so depressing. And if I want to be entertained, that would be my first choice. But I went around and around with someone today, as a matter of fact, on the phone, about the job creation. She was telling me how Obama has lowered the unemployment.
Right.
You know, and I said, you know, in the first place, those figures are such a cross, because we all know now they don't even count the people who've given up on a job or the people who went off unemployment because their 90-some weeks were up. Those people aren't even counted. Then the jobs, the few thousand that were created, are minimum wage. And,
right, exactly.
You know, so it was, I mean, you know, and I said, you know, go to who's paying for the study. You know, always check that first before you get too involved in the study. Because he hasn't done jack. And, I mean, she's a fervent supporter of his, and she hates to think that, you know, there's somebody around who doesn't think he's the most wonderful thing since whatever, the Messiah. But anyway, it was interesting because she's not stupid, and yet people just blind themselves.
Well, what you mentioned in regards to jobs, that's one thing that Mitt Romney probably had it a little bit more right than what Obama had, because Mitt Romney had mentioned that it's 23 million people that are out of work right now. And actually, that number is probably 23 million plus. And of course, you see all over the internet, they say, well, Romney was off on his facts because he was saying that it's 12.5 million people that are unemployed. Well, that's a fact. Those facts that were given are not facts, because what is happening now is we see that millions of Americans are not even being counted.
Exactly.
Now, in this,
right.
In this
right.
Last,
they're supposed to
this last report that came out last week, where they're saying that unemployment dropped below 8% to 7.8%. But now we see today that the government, they're only fabricating numbers. They're fabricating numbers. In some cases, they're not counting hundreds of thousands of workers, people that are looking for work, that these people have just dropped out of the system. They're not counting the hundreds of thousands of young students that are in college that cannot even find part-time work. They're not counting the millions of mothers that are home because they are staying at home because they cannot find work, or they have a situation where they have to pay expensive child care, which can be anywhere from $800, $1,000, maybe $1,500 a month. So they would be working only just to pay child care. So essentially, when we say 23 million, that number is probably a little bit more than 23 million people. And here,
if
you look at
California, it's much higher than 12%. I mean, when you figure the people who would work if there were jobs, but like we said, the ones who are just staying home, the ones who dropped out of the job market because they feel useless, the ones who ran out of unemployment, all of them, the students that need to work but can't find a job. So it's higher than 12%. So that 7-point-something, I mean, that's just another lie from lamestream media and backing the government.
I mentioned to people while I've been campaigning over the last few weeks, when I was in Ohio and when I was in Indiana and here in California, that by some means that they were going to provide Obama with a gift to get unemployment below 8%. And sure enough, there it is, 1 month before the election. You know, here's the good news. The president brought unemployment down with his policies below 8%.
What you do to get those figures, just get them.
He had mentioned that he was going to do this within his first year in office.
Yeah.
I believe it was a number that was even lower than 8%. And here, this is the first time in his presidency that unemployment has been below 8%. But this is not for the credit of Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney has not even offered a plan how he's going to put that 23 million people back to work.
Right.
He's talking about how he's going to slash programs. Well, let me tell you what happens when you slash programs. When you slash programs, you put people out of work. When you slash programs, you put teachers on the unemployment line. When you slash programs, you have firefighters now that are not able to, you know, be full-time, not able to be employed. You have people in all the public sector jobs. Cuts are being made there. You have health care providers. They're losing work. So that's what's happening when you try to privatize, or you say it's 23 million people that are unemployed, but you're going to slash programs. And that is what the Paul Ryan program is all about, is slashing austerity measures for this economy that will make our needs which are now critical, but it will put us in a severe state of austerity. So bottom line is, when we look at President Obama, his record is only about failure. When we look at Mitt Romney, he doesn't have a program that's going to turn around the economy. So here you have, people say the better of two evils.
Yeah, the lesser of the two evils. The lesser of the two evils.
Right, so which way do you go?
The rotten plan or the guy with no plan. Okay.
Right, exactly. You know, I found it very interesting that also during the debate set, that they weren't talking about programs such as NAFTA, which, if you look at it in 2007 and 2008, President Obama was saying, if he was elected president, that he would take measures to make certain that the trade agreements that we have with the U.S., that they would be favorable for creating American jobs. NAFTA has done nothing to create jobs for U.S. workers. It has done nothing to be able to create jobs for our neighbors to the south. So this is something that President Obama, when it comes to trade issues, that's something that they tried to avoid during the debate. And Mitt Romney didn't even bother to get into those areas. These are critical issues, critical areas that need to be dealt with not only by presidential candidates, but it should be dealt with by our current president, and they're not.
Yeah. Didn't Romney deny that when talking about moving companies overseas, because the companies deduct their cost of moving, and he denied that.
He denied that, which he was incorrect there, because they received various tax credits, tax incentives. That happens here in California all the time.
If they moved
to certain markets where they can get labor cheaper labor, cut their costs, and supposedly run more efficiently, they get tax credits for that. The same thing is when they go overseas. So that was just an outright lie from.
I mean, and he's enough of a businessman. He knows he was lying. He's got his finger in his pie. He knows where his money is coming from. So that was just a bold-faced lie. I wanted to ask you, because somebody mentioned to me that Jim Lehrer was, and when I'm saying somebody's mentioned, is several people listened to this later, and they weren't able to call in. So evidently, we aren't the only ones to think that Jim Lehrer was a lousy moderator or whatever he was supposed to be. I mean,
I don't know where they dug him up from.
He may be a wonderful man and all this stuff, but he just was not on top of it.
The thing is, first of all, he, having him to moderate that debate, the whole thing was completely out of control. He let both candidates ramble on uncontrollably, and it was just, it lacked any type of forum whatsoever. At one time, Obama said, "You cut off 5 seconds of my time." So he went on to ramble on for another minute and a half. I mean, it was like, you're going to trade 5 seconds for a minute and a half.
Okay, I'll do that.
In addition to that, the one thing I have to say is he didn't give any type of favoritism for one candidate over the other.
He was bad for everyone, huh?
Yeah, he was fair for everyone when it came to that. But I think when you consider everything, you can see that Obama seemed like he was up between a rock and a hard place, and it wasn't because of Mitt Romney. He was basically a rock and hard place because of, you know, his failures over the past 4 years in office. Mitt Romney, he's basically between a rock and a hard place also, because he's dealing with an incumbent president, which at least he has a record that he can go on that I don't necessarily agree with his record. But
yeah,
Mitt Romney doesn't have anything that he's proposing that will really bring about change. So he's between his own rock and hard place also. But as I mentioned, the questioning could have been done a lot better than what it was. But, you know, I just want to touch on a little bit more about the economy, because it's something you mentioned a few seconds ago, Ruth Ann, and you were talking about jobs. And whatever jobs that are being created are just part-time jobs. Here in California, the most of the jobs that are being created today in California are low-paying jobs that are paying anywhere from $8 to $9 an hour.
Yeah, maybe minimum,
and,
which is $7
right.
$9. These are the jobs that are created.
A family cannot be supported by one or even two people in a household making $9 an hour. And as you know, with the Socialist Party USA and with socialists in general, what we're calling for, first of all, we believe we need to have a living wage. And even though the Socialist Party, we're calling for a $15 per hour minimum. Personally, I don't even think $15 an hour even is enough. Because if you look at the income, when you go back to the early 80s, let's go back 30 years. When I was working in aerospace for Lockheed Aircraft in 1980, they had many of my colleagues and myself, we were making $15 an hour then. They had some persons that were working in aerospace who were making over $20 an hour. And this is going back 32 years. And now when we talk about $15 an hour 32 years later, that really doesn't take care of the needs of a family. And this is something that Mitt Romney nor Obama were willing to discuss about the low wages that are being paid with many of the part-time jobs across the country. And I see this all the time in the work that I work with the public.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people that are making anywhere from $9, $10, $11 an hour, and they work in 40 hours a week, some of these people. And when I look at their income, they're not even making $1,800 a month. So this is something, as I mentioned, Mitt Romney and Obama, both of them stayed away from this. Not to mention, many of these jobs, when people have part-time jobs, you have to consider those part-time jobs are without benefits. They have
absolutely no
benefits.
Right.
So if they have, like, need for dental care, or they need care for health or whatever, that's not covered through those employers. So this is something that both the candidates during this forum, that they stayed away from that as well.
Well, and one of the reasons is because we don't have unions now. Because they have weakened them and made laws against them. If we had unions, we would have some more benefits and things, but we don't.
Now, the other thing is, when you look at, as I mentioned in the debate, you have Mitt Romney. He was talking about how you don't want to tax or raise taxes on the job creators.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about it a few minutes ago. You're talking about job creators, and we'll talk about the Bush tax cuts, but job creators, most of these companies are not creating jobs. They're splitting jobs in some cases. They'll take one full-time worker and they hire two part-time workers, and both part-time workers are still paying less. Many of these so-called job creators are moving their businesses out of the country. Many of these job creators are moving to other states where they can get cheaper labor. So both these candidates, they weren't talking about their so-called job creators and how we need to have a tax structure that is going to be able to deal with these companies. However, if you look at both sides, Obama and you look at Romney, both of them, the job creators, they're not job creators, but they are being still subsidized by the tax rates that were created under the Bush administration. So this is something, another thing, you know, among many things that I caught during that debate, that if you had any third-party candidates, or if you had any left candidates or candidates with a progressive agenda, they would have brought all these things up, which was not brought up by either of the two candidates.
Right.
But, Ruthie, and I just want to take a quick break here and
give the phone number, too. Yeah.
Right, where people can call into the program. We're taking calls today for anyone that would like to make any comments on the debate that took place over last week on Wednesday between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And the call-in is here at the Socialist for the Socialist Insight is 718-664-6436. That's area code 718-664-6436. And we would like to hear your comments in regards to the debates between President Obama and Mitt Romney last weekend. The other thing is to contact the Alexander Mendoza campaign. I'm Stuart Alexander, running as a presidential candidate with the Socialist Party USA. You can reach us at our website is Stuart Alexander for President. That's FOR President 2012.org. That's Stuart Alexander for President 2012.org. And Ruth Ann, you have some exciting news about what took place in Venezuela. Why don't you share that with our listeners today? Of course, our listeners have probably already heard it, but why don't you share that?
Right. Well, Hugo Chavez is once again president. I was so excited last night. Yeah, I mean, really, I was. We were doing Acosta Temple Live last night and having the news, and right before the show, I mean, I kept checking to see, and Venezuela does, well, a lot of things I wish our country did, but one thing, they wait until polls are closed before they start putting out the word, and so we knew it was closed. But, you know, in this country, California's still voting, and they've already declared in New York, and I think that's,
right.
I just think that's wrong. So, but there was nothing, you know, nothing. And that the show I was doing was over at 9:30. And so, man, I was just all over the place. And then started coming in. And I had the biggest smile on my face. And so I was talking with other people, you know, who had been, well, we'd been led to believe by our mainstream media that it was going to be so close and everything. And it wasn't that close. He won by 10 points. And he was very gracious as a winner.
Right.
His opponent was very gracious as a non-winner. And, you know, it was fine. And recently I read where Jimmy Carter, our ex, former President Carter, is one of the many things he's a part of, is, I forget what it's called, but they check on elections around the world, and they've done 80-some to try to see, you know, try to make them as honest as possible and fair. And he had said that Venezuela was the best he'd ever seen, the way they conduct theirs. And he had no doubt that it would be fine. But, you know, if you read the news here, you would have thought that it was just full of corruption because, you know, Chavez does not find the United States the best kind of government, let's put it that way. And so it was just sort of, it was wonderful to hear and then to see people celebrating that news while they kept pretty low profile here in this country about it. I did read that the Obama administration said that even though, you know, they differ with Mr. Chavez on some items and topics and issues, that they wanted to congratulate him and his opponent, I mean, the whole country, for running a very smooth election. So
right.
They were gracious enough, our government, to say that. While, of course, Romney's people are out there trying to figure out, okay, how can we go in and destabilize the country? Because, you know, that's what we do as a country. Mm-hmm. We destabilize. But it was just nice. And I've not been that excited over a presidential election, maybe in my life. Isn't that sad? And I get so excited over the one in Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
But it's very good news. And it is socialism to an extent. It's a little different from what we know. It's different from the communism of Cuba. But it
right.
is something that it helped the people, working people, and they turned out in droves. They were up in line 4 hours before the polls opened, you know?
Right.
So that says a lot.
So anyway, it was a victory for socialism. And
oh, yeah.
One of the things that Chavez, what he had mentioned, is that he is going to be backing a stronger socialist agenda for the country, and I was glad to hear that. That's what we need to do here in this country. We need to be supporting a socialist agenda, because anyone listening to this program today, you cannot say that capitalism is working in the U.S. or anywhere. Capitalism has been a complete failure, and we can see that just by our everyday existence. We can see that in the workplace, that we're working for lower wages, our health care. Most of us cannot afford the health care that we have had over the years, because the cost is constantly going up. So we need to pursue a socialist agenda, such as when I speak about health care, like single payer. This is something when Obamacare, when they were discussing this in Congress, single payer was taken off the table. And eventually we could see that the public option, that was taken off the table as well. So eventually we had a program that came in under Obamacare that only, again, provided for the big health insurance organizations, and it really didn't provide any substance for working people. So that's one, you know, I'm glad to see that in that country, they're moving in the right direction.
Yes.
Are they the example that we need to use here in the U.S.? No, it's not the example that I'm saying that we need here in the U.S., but
they're
moving in the right direction.
We do have a caller. Okay.
Oh, sure.
And then we have a caller from area code 510.
Yes, and I'd like to hear your comments on the debate.
Here we are. Hello. So did you listen to the debate? Or watch him?
Hey, Ruth Ann. Hey, Stuart.
Hey.
Oh, hey. I recognize that voice.
Uh-huh. So you did watch the debates, right, Zach?
Yes, I did. And I got to say, there was little to no difference between the candidates, especially when on the side of President Obama. I mean, for instance, when he said when it comes to our tax code, Governor Romney and I both agree that our corporate tax rate is too high. Or on energy, Governor Romney and I both agree. I mean, need we say more? I mean, if they're agreeing on energy and on the taxing of, you know, our corporations, or even they said there was a very similar way in which they would reform Social Security, you know, this presidential election debate that was held last Wednesday further proves, solidifies the two-party system.
Right.
There was little to no difference between which two candidates we were being served from our, you know, corporations that are really controlling the United States and not our federal government, as it should be.
Exactly.
Right.
One of the things, I found very interesting is how President Obama was very quick to say that he and Mitt Romney, how they agreed on Social Security. They're talking about over a period of time making cuts to Social Security, and this is, they say, not the people today, but many of the people that will be coming along later be cuts there. But one of the things is they're looking at raising the retirement age up to 71 or possibly 72 for retirement age. Eventually, they'll be talking about raising the retirement age up to the point when you die. But I find it very interesting how when both of them can see what has taken place as far as Social Security not being able to meet the needs of people that are retiring today, even with their pension in some cases, that Obama and Mitt Romney didn't even hesitate when he said, "We agree on this." Did you catch that part also, Zach?
Yeah, it was disturbing, to say the least. The idea that, so they won't change Social Security for the current retirees or people nearing retirement, but for people, unfortunately, someone at the age of 19 like myself, it's a little concerning that, you know, we are hearing the benefits of Social Security from the past generations who have benefited from it greatly. And when, you know, my generation will soon look forward to this benefit, to the social program, well, I guess we won't be able to in either respect, whether it's a reelected term of President Barack Obama or a new administration under Mitt Romney. The benefits of Social Security will be gone by the time, you know, I reach the appropriate age to receive said benefits and various other social programs that have helped, you know, the poor and the working poor, the middle class, the working class in general. It's disgusting how there's no difference in what they're proposing, and I think that it's just ever so clear that, you know, we are living in a two-party system.
Right. One of the things I find very interesting also is I had some individuals that were in the place where I work. It was a husband and wife, and the wife, when I wanted to find out what her income was, she said, "Well, it's just Social Security." She said, "Well, I really don't get that much." I said, "Well, how much is it?" She said, "Well, I make $600 a month from Social Security." $600 a month. She said, "Well, my husband, most of the income that comes into the household, he makes that. And with his pensions and his benefits and everything, I believe he was making like $2,700. So their net income was $3,300 a month." And I can relate to that, Zach, also on a personal level. When I look at my mother, after working pretty close to almost over 50 years of her life, and you know, she still has her RN license. She'll never need to use it again. But working over 50 years of her life, and here her Social Security, she makes less than $900 a month from Social Security. $900. I ask you, who do you know, or wherever they live, can they live on $900 a month? So subsequently, you know, the family, and, you know, we have to, you know, help together as a family to be able to do this. But this is another fallacy that I see with both the corporate parties, where they're shifting the burden onto families, and they're talking, the cuts that they're talking about making, that's the safety net for our society, whether it's Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security, cuts in education. These are the safety nets that we need as a society.
Right. We need health care. We need education. And those are the first to go, the first place they look.
Right.
Yeah. So if we don't have that.
Zach,
oh,
Did you also notice that they didn't talk about education that much, what they're going to be able to do to cut the cost for education? I mean, here we're talking about eliminating the debt that, you know, millions of students have. In other words, right now it's over $1.2 trillion is, you know, we just want to remove that debt from students. They didn't even talk about that even? Maybe I missed that. I didn't hear them talking about how they were going to cut the costs for education. Did you hear that?
There was little to no talk on reforming or even massively altering the educational system in the United States. You know, obviously the Republicans are the ones who push this more, but obviously the Democrats have sort of followed suit in that privatizing across the board the educational system. You know, I'm really sick of hearing candidates and those elected saying that, oh, well, you know, the state-run schools are failing miserably. But you know what? Speaking from my own personal, you know, background and story, I'm a product of public school education.
Right.
And that's just an insult to me and to every other person who I know and to thousands and millions of people across this country and around the world that public school education is pathetic, is worthless. No, on the contrary, it is something that has helped people push the boundaries of what they can do, and it's helped lift an entire generation of people. Education should be free. It should be a human right, not some type of privilege for the few, you know, elitists. I mean, it was kind of sickening at the very end of President Obama's closing remarks in the debate when he said, I've also promised to fight every single day for the American people. I've kept that promise, and if you vote for me, I'll vote, I'll fly just as hard in the second term. Well, Mr.
That's when I got sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
See?
You know, this is a promise, like so many made in 2007 and 2008, that you failed miserably on. And you know what? I waited. I waited for this president to make change, and I realized it's a hostile environment and that you can't expect everything to happen. I understand that. I understand the complexities that this president is facing, yet that's still not enough of a reason why he has barely made a push forward.
Well, you expect something. I mean, even giving him the benefit of the doubt, you expect something.
Yeah.
And, you know, miserably failed. Yeah.
Well, one of the things is what you were mentioning also earlier, Ruth Ann, the way the show was moderated, a lot of big issues out there weren't even dealt with. Like, a lot of big issues when it comes to women's issues, women in the workplace.
And that was intentional.
Issues regarding abortion. And one of the things I mentioned to you earlier, when you allow both sides to ramble on, you took 5 seconds, I'm going to take another minute and a half. Well, what it does, it doesn't allow time for many of the big issues that need to be dealt with. A lot of the youth issues. Did you notice that also, Zach?
Yeah. And, you know, with all respect to Jim Lehrer, because I'm actually a fan of his work, and, you know, I get a lot of my information from PBS NewsHour, amongst other news sources. I think the choice of Jim Lehrer and sort of the moderating position was
bad.
Something to be desired. I think it was a very poor choice, but that's just one, you know, string of poor choices that the corporate-controlled Commission on Presidential Debates has made in its, you know, two-decade-plus years of existence.
Well, a lot of people on the left, and we consider how unfair the presidential debates are. And, of course, we have tried to get into that arena. When it comes to presidential debates, can you imagine if you really had someone from the left participating in the debate rather than two people from the center-right participating in the debate? Yeah, we had absolutely no left perspective on the debate whatsoever.
No.
None.
No.
And as I mentioned, with many of the here and Zach know my position in regards to the human rights, how they have been completely destroyed under this president. Well, I shouldn't say just under this president, but because I can go back to.
He could have changed it, but he didn't.
Right. I mean, Obama, when he came into office, he said he was committed to repealing the Patriot Act that came about under President Bush.
Yeah.
And once he got into office, the Patriot Act was never, ever on the table. This is something when it comes to human rights. I mean, here you can come in people's homes, in their workplace, and, you know, illegal surveillance and wiretaps and like that. And then, again, when we talk about human rights and domestic issues, where you can target American citizens. Indefinite detention, big issues. These are big issues when you talk about domestic issues that weren't even brought up in this debate. That's from the perspective of someone from the left. Pardon me?
Yeah. Well, that's because they agree on this stuff.
Right, they agree
on it. They aren't going to bring it. It was very – the questions they knew had, this was very carefully chosen. And
right, exactly.
That's what – Go ahead.
And this is something that people should understand when we talk about the National Defense Authorization Act. And this came under this president. A person on the left would have been all over President Obama on that right there. On December 31st of 2011, President Obama couldn't wait to sign this legislation into law. And then we have a U.S. A U.S. Supreme Court can't wait to give their rubber stamp on it that, you know, the provisions of indefinite detention is okay under the law.
Yeah.
So these are issues that should have been discussed during a debate, a real debate.
A real debate.
But that basically what we saw was a collaboration between two candidates, center right, basically, but the left was not represented. Yeah. And I'm quite certain that, I know, Zach, you have been online and you have been talking about this. You probably saw the same thing as well, correct?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there was several points that you touched upon that are very important. Surely, you know, the actions of President Obama in signing the National Defense Authorization Act for the fiscal year 2012, that in of itself is a blatant violation of human rights.
Right.
But even on a grander scale, when you take the party that he represents, the Democratic Party, what was purposely left out of really any media attention happened at the most recent Democratic National Convention. And when all the delegates and all the members of the national committee for that party got together and wrote more party guidelines and updated party documents, is that there was one party plank that said that the Democratic Party was opposed to the Patriot Act USA.
Right.
Now, in this recent convention, back in September, early September, they got rid of that provision. They got rid of that they were opposed and against and would repeal the Patriot Act USA.
Right.
It's a further evidence that the Democratic Party isn't what it is supposed to be. It's supposed to be supposedly this left progressive party and is now moved to the center and now to the center right and even inching into the far right wing of politics as the Republican Party has been for quite some time.
Another thing that was never brought up in the debate was immigration. Big issue. Big issue in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something a left candidate would have had on the table. This would have been a question that, you know, how are we going to deal with immigration here in this country and protecting the human rights of people, that right now both parties, the Republicans and Democrats, they are on the same page on that.
Yeah.
But isn't it also interesting that, Zach, again, that was not even brought up, immigration, during talking about domestic issues? We're not even talking about foreign or international issues. This is something that we're dealing with every day, because we as socialists, and with the Socialist Party USA, we believe that the rights of all individuals and all human beings should be protected. And here you got two parties that have used immigration only as a political football in Congress and also in Washington. But
I think that there's sort of two points to be made. As socialists, you know, one of the major tenets of socialism is we are internationalists. We
don't believe
in borders. We don't believe in the capitalist construction of dividing the working class on an international, on a global level. We don't believe in borders. Also, we don't believe, as socialists, and one of the huge tenets of the Socialist Party USA, is we do not believe that there's any legal or undocumented person. There's no such thing as any legal human being or an undocumented human being. We are all on this planet together as human beings.
Right.
We are all equal. So the concept that that one person's illegal or legal, it's another ploy of the capitalist class to divide us. And I think that these two parties, the Republicans and Democrats especially, are using this, as you say, Stuart, as some cheap political ploy to earn some points in some polls. And they're not really tackling the major issues that concern us, the working class, and everyone else.
Right. And when it comes to, like, jobs, say, for instance, we had jobs, good-paying jobs, south of the border, do you think people here in this country would be trying to get across the border so that they could go and work at those jobs? If they had jobs that paid $20, $30, $35 an hour, do you think people would leaving the U.S. to go and work those jobs on a daily basis? I think you would have people as far as Los Angeles and probably even further going and doing work. But the only reason, because of the trade policies that they have and what we have done as far as administering those trade policies as a nation, that is the only reason people are coming here, only because they need incomes. But
well,
if
do,
we
do
have policies in place where
that,
it would create that, then it wouldn't be a border issue. That's the only reason why. Border issues are economic issues.
Well, sure, but it's been brought about by this country and companies such as Monsanto, which has gone down there and ruined the small farmers who were doing fine. And so now they have no income. So now then they're coming here. If we wouldn't support and okay those companies like Monsanto, which has been thrown out of many countries and, you know, forced to label GMO products in other countries, we wouldn't have such a mess with Mexico right now, because people would be growing their own. They would be working in their local communities. But agribusiness and Monsanto has put them out of business. So we have, as a country, we have a lot. I mean, this is pretty much our fault. What's happening?
Right, exactly. And another thing is, I just want to touch on a couple other issues that were not covered in this debate. And it really wasn't a debate, because once you leave out the other side, how are you going to have a debate when it's a one side?
You have a debate when they both.
It was one sided. One of the things that should have been discussed at the top of the agenda are free and fair elections, because in this country we don't have free and fair elections.
No.
We don't have access to the media. Yes.
Well, one of the major tenets of you know, free and fair elections is that, you know, in a debate usually implies that there's two or more sides. Obviously, we didn't see that in last Wednesday's presidential election debates. And, you know, you have to, you know, tackle the problem at its source, is the Commission on Presidential Debates. you know, there are, so, you know, there are hundreds of people running for president of the United States, and yet we only represented two very similar and sometimes the same option for that position, for that office. And the Commission on Presidential Debates, which, as the name implies, controls and moderates the debates, are owned, while it itself is a nonprofit organization, it is owned and contributed by multiple heavy-hitting corporations and organizations that are for-profit, and it is in their interest to keep the workers and to keep the working class and to keep everybody, all voters, in this sort of shadow of what could be. They only present you what is.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And so what I can see, and what you mentioned, Zach, everything is really to deny working class people any type of representation in government and also in the leadership. If you look at the candidates that were running, they were well over, if you go back around a year, approximately a year ago, there were somewhere close to 300 plus candidates that were seeking the office for president of the United States.
What has become is to
run as a candidate for president is big money. Just recently, Obama was here in town and went to a fundraising dinner, $25,000 a plate. I know on a couple of different occasions, Mitt Romney has had fundraisers here where it's been, matter of fact, a person that I know, he paid for two people was $10,000 per plate. And Mitt Romney has had other fundraisers right here in California where it's $20,000 per plate, not to mention the super PACs, where they bring in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to promote these campaigns.
It didn't happen.
So anyway, the thing is, bottom line is, it wasn't a debate by no means. And as I said, it was only a collaboration, and really just to put in the spotlight two candidates that represented the same thing and represented the same masters. What is your last take on that, Zach?
Well, I mean, as I always say, we're living in a two-party system, or one could say a one-party system with two warring factions.
Right.
But to all those who are listening, I like to paraphrase one of my favorite quotes of all time, spoken by Eugene V. Debs. I'd rather vote for what I want and not get it than to vote for what I do not want and get it instead.
I love that.
And basically, to summarize up, you know, we do have a choice. It might not be so clear now, but in the future it will be. Right. And, you know, we have to continue fighting for the working class. And socialism isn't a mere alternative. It is the answer.
It's the answer. And on that happy note, I want to say before we're off that Wednesday night, on my show called Gather Round, Zach will be here and two other young socialists.
Oh, good.
So we've got Zach, we've got Justin Com, and we've got Evil Justin Jones coming in. And they are the future. Like Zach says, so is socialism, and I'm very excited about that. So, Stuart, you've got 40 minutes to wind us up.
And I might mention, again, thanks for joining the Socialist Party. Zach, thanks for joining in. We will be looking forward to having you to come and participate and also to call in for our upcoming programs in regards to presidential debates. We have the vice presidents, vice presidential candidate, and the vice president, Joe Biden, will be having a debate within the next few weeks, a few days, and we'll be looking for your comments as well. Again, it's for the website is Stuart Alexander for President 2012.org. We look forward to your comments, and we look forward to you participating in our program in next week. Again, okay. Ruth Ann, thanks for hosting the program, and thanks to our listeners.
Thank you,
and
thank
day.
You, Zach. Yeah.
No problem.
Thanks.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.